KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning, everyone. I hope your Sunday morning is going just great, and thank you so much for making us a part of your day. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I have the really terrible task of bringing you the great stories of how Fresno State students, staff, faculty, and our community partners help transform our community through service. I mean, boy, bringing these uplifting good news stories to people is such a terrible job, but hey, somebody's got to do it, so here we are. Today, I get to share the story about one of the many student clubs and organizations at Fresno State that's finding very unique ways to address issues that face our community. In this case, the issue is the high rate of high school students not graduating or not attending college. And the club is Ambassadors for Youth Success, also known as AYS, or sometimes abbreviated A's. So if you hear us talking about any of those names, we're all referring to that same club. With me today are Dr. Amy Rickman, a professor in the Child, Family, and Science Department, and a recent Fresno State graduate, Jasmine Della Torre. Welcome to both of you, and thanks so much for taking time out of your day to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Jasmine, let's start with you. Maybe just introduce yourself to the folks listening so they know a little about you.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Chris, for having us here. My name is Jasmine Della Torre. I was born and raised in Fresno. I graduated from Edison High School, go Tigers, and I recently graduated from Fresno State with a degree in child development. And now I'm working as a prevention educator with Fresno Council on Child Abuse Prevention. And basically the majority of our work is providing educational trainings to community members on how to prevent child abuse.
Great. Thank you. I remember first hearing about Ambassadors for Youth Success at last year's Fresno State Student Leadership Award when you won the President Award for the Most Outstanding President for a Student Club and Organization. Congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I had not heard about the program before that and immediately went up to Amy, and I think I may have talked to you as well and said, hey, what is this? So maybe you can tell us, Jasmine, a little about AYS.
Sure. Well, thank you. We began in the spring of 2017 when Dr. Rickman sent me an email asking if I would be willing to be in a club that started with the similar gist of the high school student panel that she had in her 143S class. Back then it was 143. And I was 100% all in. I didn't expect to be any sort of officer. I just kind of went to be nosy and see what was going on and get my foot in the door. But I walked out being a co-president. So we started in spring of 2017. We started with ideas of what we wanted to do, and that included empowering, supporting, and advocating for the youth in the Central Valley. And we do that by bringing college students to high school and middle school classrooms. We answer questions that they might have about college, about high school if they're middle school students, just life in general. Mm-hmm. And we also give tips on how to be successful in college and get through high school as well. And I think the most important part of what we do in our panels is share stories of adversity, struggles that we've faced, and if it was in our college or high school, just any struggles we faced in our life and how we've been able to overcome them and become successful in life.
I would imagine that, like a lot of people, but especially for these young students, junior high, high school, they look at some of the challenges that they face and they look forward and they say, I can't achieve that, whatever that is. And in your case, you're talking about I can't either. They feel like they're not able to, they don't have the support to, they don't have the skills to finish high school, go on to college. And you're there to say, hey, these challenges are overcomable. Look, you know, I face similar challenges and there's all these support systems and you think you can't afford it or your family can't afford it. And look, there's financial aid and scholarships. And
right.
So you're there to share with them your stories and help them maybe realize that the hurdles that they face are similar and overcomable, right?
Right. Majority of what we do is to make students not feel like they're alone. Uh-huh. One of the first tasks that the officers did was come together and share stories about how we felt going into college. And most of us said that we felt very isolated, very alone, as if our counselors, school admin, tried to do like a one hat fits all. they didn't really personalize our college experience. And that was one thing we tried to do, was make every student feel special and know that their situation is not similar to anyone else's. But at the same time, let them know that, hey, any struggles that you are facing, you're not alone. Here's some of the struggles that we faced. You know, if we can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
And the stories that we share are very, I don't want to say they're similar, because they're not. Everyone has a story, and we're there to share ours. And it's amazing when some of the students share their stories with us as well. Yeah. And so we open up ourselves. We make ourselves vulnerable so that we can make those students feel empowered by our vulnerability and share their stories.
Wow. Well, Amy, I understand you were the person who encouraged Jasmine and the other students to start the club because you saw a need in the community. You're not a longtime Fresno person. Maybe you can give us a little background on yourself, and then we'll talk a little bit more about what it was that you saw in the community as a fairly new resident. How about a little self-introduction?
Hi, my name's Dr. Amy Rickman. I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Child and Family Science at Fresno State. I've been here for 5 years, so this is my fifth year, but it's true, I'm a transplant. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, most recently came from more rural Illinois in an area that's very similar to Fresno, Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, a very agricultural area, lots of similarities to Fresno, lots of differences, but Fresno is new to me, and so I've been with the department for 5 years, and it's just been such a treat. Part of being with the department has had me teach the children at risk class, which is the CFS 143 and 143S course that Jasmine mentioned earlier. Jasmine was a student in that class when I taught it one semester. And as part of it, I did a number of things to help students think about different risks that young people face in society. And we look at areas from eating disorders to bullying, substance abuse to homelessness, dropout, a lot of different areas. And the students gain a wide perspective on different areas of at-riskiness for children, but they also study in depth one area. I brought in a panel of high schoolers that first semester that Jasmine was in for the first time from Fresno High to talk about some of their experiences. Mm-hmm. Even though our students are 18, 19, 20, 21, and not too far out of high school, I've seen in working with youth for many years that we forget sometimes the experience that we've had even recently. And so I thought it was important for them to hear from young people themselves. Unfortunately, that panel had some transportation issues and couldn't be in Jasmine's class, but was in the later class and just really made a big impression. And I continue to bring the panel back. But from that experience and from others in the class, I've been in this class and others asking students to come talk to me if they'd like to start a program reaching out into the community. I study youth and know that those connections are important. And this particular semester, I made a little bit more of an effort and emailed a few people directly, a couple more than I did in the past. And a couple of them said yes this time, Jasmine being one. And we brought together a great group of students who just came up with really powerful ideas for this new organization.
You know, a couple things. I think, first of all, you talk about this class, Children at Risk, and you talk about some of those risks. And I think there's such a debate these days, right? Like, you know, oh, things are so much worse than they used to be. I don't know that they're worse. You know, I'm 50 some odd years old and some gray hair. And I know that students, when I was going to high school, faced risks. Drugs were there. There was teen pregnancy. There was some violence on campus. And some of those things may be worse. Some of them may be better. But the fact of the matter is we do forget. We forget what it's like to be 16. We forget what it's like to have to deal with those things. And in many cases, we didn't lead the same life in terms of the kinds of challenges that happened. So in your opinion, I guess where I'm going is, do you think that kids today have more risks, or they're just different and we're in a different environment?
Oh, that's a great question, because you're so right. When we look at things like dropout rate has been falling. So even now versus 10 years ago, we see a higher degree of graduation for students. And when we look even further back in history, we see far more students are graduating from high school now than they did in the 1950s, than they did at certain points in history. So certain risks are not as severe in that way. But young people face a number of challenges, whether or not the numbers are showing that dropout is going up or down. We know that young people are facing struggles, and we know that they would benefit from supports in getting through the struggles that they're facing. And we know that we could contribute to those supports from the university, and particularly being a public university in this community.
And also, I think the other thing that I know a little bit in your background, in part, is with nonprofit communities. So you have a special affinity for the kinds of services that nonprofits provide. Maybe you can talk just quickly about your nonprofit background.
Sure. Before I came to Fresno State, and actually before I received my doctorate, went back for my graduate studies, I had a master's degree and I worked in the community, started a grassroots organization for girls and young women, a program run by women, putting on workshops in areas that girls and women might not typically try. It was called Girl Zone, and we ran for 7 years. A book was written about it. And through that, in many other ways I worked in the community, I realized that we have a lot of potential to come together to not only address issues that impact those who are more vulnerable or those who are struggling, but we also have the ability to gain awareness of struggles that people face that we're lucky not to face, but we should all be aware of in order to create a stronger community.
Yeah. So back to AYS, what were the things that you saw here in Fresno that prompted you to light a fire under Jasmine and her fellow student leaders to start this club?
Our students at Fresno State are so strong, and they come and persevere through the program, coming with lots of different lives outside of school, and many of them have struggles themselves. And I see that as a teacher, as a faculty member. I could not see that from my first semester here. Our students really juggle a lot of things and do it so gracefully and often so quietly and silently and alone oftentimes. And so I knew that if this was happening for students in college, we have such high first generation representation. Yeah.
70 some odd percent of students are first generation in their family to go to college.
Right. And so it made me think, what kind of strengths did they have to get them to this point that high schoolers could benefit from as well? How could they contribute to others coming up like they did? And so often, we just have the best students. They want to help. They want to be involved in addressing challenges others face. And so I saw that and I thought, this is just such a fertile ground for doing so many different things.
Yeah. What about the local high school grad rates? I know that there tends to be a lot of debate and confusion about that. Do you have specific knowledge about, you know, Fresno Unified, Clovis Unified, Central Unified, what our grad rates look like in comparison to, say, state trends or national trends?
Sure. So we see that around 82% graduation rate statewide in California. And there was an adjustment that was recently made just last year on how graduation rates are being counted, which means that it will be very hard for us to compare graduation rates to past years. And that's going to be an interesting way that we make sense of history. But outside of that, Fresno Unified is on par with the state rate. It's around 82 with that adjustment. Clovis is higher. A few schools in Fresno proper, I think Washington Unified is 81% graduation, Coalinga Huron 80%. But then when we look outside in Fresno County, in areas like Firebaugh, some of these more rural communities, we see much lower graduation rates. Mm. And the question is why and what can we contribute? And I just see a lot of potential in having students talk about those dynamics that might contribute to those rates, and also thinking about how we as a university community might address some of those struggles that students are facing.
And clearly, you know, the statistics, and they've been this way for a long, long time, the research shows very clearly that when students don't graduate high school, their chances of being on public assistance, falling afoul of the law and being involved in criminal activity, being involved in drugs, being a victim of teen pregnancy, all of those things greatly increase. Am I correct about that?
So much. So when students don't have a high school degree, it could definitely add to the struggles they face in not having basic diploma that can open doors. And without it, doors often won't open, particularly for females. We see that females have fewer options in the informal economy. And so, yes, definitely. Struggles are higher when a high school degree is not achieved commonly.
What is being done currently in Fresno Unified, Clovis Unified, and maybe what's not being done?
So that's an area I just unfortunately don't have as much experience with. But the teachers are working very hard. The counselors are working very hard. I know the schools are working very hard to address the needs of students. But we see that families are struggling unlike they have in the past. We had an economic recession 10 years ago. And so we see families struggling. We see communities having less funds going into certain services that families and young people used to benefit from. And even schools are facing challenges with budget. That means that some services might not be there around mental health, around the ability to have arts and theater, some areas that we know are very tied to young people, particularly young people who struggle academically, finding meaning and belonging and ways to feel competent and capable that have lots of repercussions for other areas of their lives in feeling meaningful members of society. So we know that those things are going on, and I think it's a struggle.
So Jasmine, you've got a little insight into the current situation locally, right?
Yeah, I'm actually a teacher in Fresno Unified for the migrant program, and I know some of the ways that we try and help not just the graduation rates, but also students applying for college and getting admitted into college is our parent workshops. Each school has a different time and place for workshops, but they are meant for parents to come and talk with teachers and counselors about what the application process looks like for colleges, what is needed of their children so that they are able to graduate. But from what I've seen, they're very effective. One of the downsides to those workshops is that they are most often located at the school site without any form of childcare. So parents are bringing younger children with them, which, you know, who knows how much information is lost when they're trying to juggle, you know, say, let's just say there's not a translator there and English is a second language to them and they have their younger children with them and they're trying to retain as much information as possible. But, you know, how much are they retaining because they're just trying to juggle as much as they can. Mm-hmm. So
programs for the kids, programs for the parents. But that role modeling that you and your fellow AYS students were able to provide and are able to provide, I think that's a very special and unique connection with these kids. I'm curious, though, you're in education now. What was getting this club up and running and being involved in it like? Do you think it stretched you and created new skills in you that maybe you might not have achieved if you had just gone to classes and done your regular degree?
Yeah, it was definitely a stretch. So when I first took on the role as a co-president, I didn't have a job. So AYS was my job. It took, I would say, about on average from 4 to 6 hours out of my time a week, planning, preparing panels, doing outreach for volunteers that we needed for the panelists.
You're doing it for the first time. So you have to figure this all out step by step.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I have a 3-year-old son.
Oh.
So it was a struggle, but I always found it rewarding. And the most reward I got were at the panels. That was where I found that each and every time I was doing good work. This is what I wanted to do. This is why I'm here. Not just my purpose, but I just found it so empowering for myself. When we recruit panelists, the students here at Fresno State, to do this work, we say this isn't geared just for students. The students are going to benefit from this nurturing relationship we're trying to establish, but you're also going to benefit from it too. You're going to feel good inside for different reasons.
What is it about the feelings that you got that were so special from this program?
This is going to sound so funny, but to me, the panels had sort of a healing power, to me at least. I almost always one of the panelists that share my stories, and my story has to do with physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and then having my son my sophomore year of college. And in the Hispanic community, you know, sharing the abuse that you endured is something that's hidden behind closed doors that I've actually not even shared to most of my family. But in front of students, I share that story so that they don't feel alone and that they know that if this abuse is occurring, you'll get through it. It's going to be tough, but you'll get through it and you're going to come out strong in the end, if not stronger. And so sharing that story is healing to me because I never really reached out in terms of mental health to help me get through what I was going through. So in a way, this presenting in front of high school and middle school students has helped me, but also feeling that sense of being vulnerable really has a way of making you feel empowered because oftentimes you'll see the students' facial expressions or they'll come up after the panel to share their story or ask personal questions. You know, how did you report your abuser? Things like that. And sometimes they'll even cry. And to me, you know, I'd never want to walk in and, you know, make students cry ever. But to see that you making yourself vulnerable and seeing those reactions just make me feel amazing, just good inside because you may be the only person that this student is opening up to.
Yeah, and clearly, I mean, I can only imagine that's difficult for you, but it is empowering to these students because they probably feel like there is no way out for them. There is no solution to this. And here you're saying, look, yeah, there is. I went through something like this and here's the door out. Here's an example that you can still overcome these things and achieve.
Yeah, I'll never forget the day where one of our panelists shared a story about her parent having brain cancer and her having to deal with that in high school, and a student coming up to her and saying how she had recently lost a parent. The teacher had no clue. It wasn't until the panelist suggested maybe we should talk to your teacher about it, and she talked to me if it was okay if I shared it with the teacher, since I had connections with that teacher. And I did, and now the school admin knows about that student and what that student is going through. And this is so important. Relating back to what Dr. Rickman talks about is that there are these struggles that students face, and we as adults forget that high school and middle school is a hard time. Yes, they may not have a full-time job like we do. Yes, they may not have a car payment, but the struggles they feel are very real. And that's what AYS is there to do, is to validate those struggles and let them know there is light at the end of the tunnel.
I was just reading a student paper. This is a student who works with one of our nonprofit partners, and they work with young kids. And the student was saying how one of the very first days they were meeting with their kids, and some of the parents were there. And this young little boy said to this female student, "Oh, hey, that's my dad over there," and pointed him out and said, "You wouldn't like him very much. I went into his room one day and there were a bunch of naked women in there, and I ran out and I was scared." This is a little elementary school child. It was probably, I know the program generally works with young kids. And, you know, these kids are facing things, not all of them, but a lot of these kids are facing things that many of us cannot imagine would happen. And they do. And you, as a college student, are there sharing your story, and your fellow students are sharing their stories and letting them know that they're not alone. And that there's the ability to overcome those challenges and still finish high school, go to college, get the job that you're really looking for and hoping for, and lead a wonderful life.
Yeah, some of the other parts that are rewarding, I think one of the questions is, what skills or what have you gotten from the panels? And I would say not just for myself, but the other panelists have gained skills that have to do with public speaking, sort of being a liaison, because you do have to reach out to teachers. You have to put your neck on the chopping block and reach out to teachers and school administrators and tell them about the club, but also if we can come into their classrooms and present. Sometimes you'll get a no, you know, but most of the time you'll get a yes. Mm-hmm. But that is one of the skills that you get from being in the club, is you have to speak publicly. You have to build relationship, establish networks with multiple schools, multiple school districts.
I just want to add that Jasmine is so humble. She took on the role of co-president in her last year. The group came together, all of the officers took on the decision to start this organization around this time in 2017, a busy end of semester, so busy. They were getting ready for finals, and they were going to take on coming up with a charter for a new organization on top of all of that. These students are hardworking, and they took on a lot. In addition to doing so much in the community, it was a lot that they took on to their own plates to try to start up a new organization. And Jasmine and the others just really did such a wonderful job at a very busy time in life when they could have just focused on being seniors, getting out the door. But no, and Jasmine and the others have talked to me, and I've seen them, such professionals. They just were such wonderful ambassadors and are to Fresno State in presenting us in such a wonderful light of being caring, of being organized, of being well-versed in the literature. They know that dropouts, not just somebody dropping out, there's push-out that's happening. There's reasons why kids leave because of push-out or pull-out. Economic struggles of family mean that kids are more likely to drop out. Having a disease or a pregnancy, kids are more likely to drop out. Not being understood, having racism, having bullying, kids are more likely to drop out. Not feeling like there's any reason to get a degree, not feeling like there's any hope, kids are more likely to drop out. Not feeling like what you're going through is something that you could go through, let alone anybody else, kids are more likely to drop out. So dropout has a lot more to do with it than what we normally talk about. And we teach in 143 that nurturing is a skill. We often consider it as a kind of touchy-feely extra thing that some people do, but it is a skill. It's tied to resilience. Adults need to nurture young people, because we see that young people who have adults to go to, at least one adult to talk to be honest with, are much more likely to persevere when they hit challenging times. And that's what young people need. We have challenging times, and they need this.
Like Dr. Rickman said, that nurture is a skill. And not everyone has that one person in their life to nurture them and establish a nurturing relationship with. And I know that Dr. Rickman has done such an amazing job nurturing and fostering a great relationship with her students. She is an inspiration to me. I care because she cares. She cared and continues to care every single day. I came in late to class one day, or maybe like twice or three times. But I was going through a really, really hard time in my life. And Dr. Rickman pulled me aside after class, perhaps, and asked me if everything was okay. I could have been offended, you know, like, this is my life. Why are you asking me? It's none of your business. But I understood it as she was caring enough to ask what's going on and see if she could help me. And that's what I wanted to be in other students' lives, if not just for that day that we have the panel, but afterwards if they needed it too.
You know, our time always just flies by on these shows, and there's so much more I wanted to talk about. You know, certainly, Amy, we're going to have you back on, because there's all kinds of other things that your department is doing in terms of engaging students in service. So we'll have you back on the show. But I do want to really quickly, if somebody out there is listening and they want to get more information about AYS or they want to get involved, how can they do that?
Sure. So we have wonderful new co-president starting up next semester. Jasmine continues to be an officer because they decided to keep a certain number of officers who are graduated. But they could email me and I'll put them in touch. My email is arickman, A-R-I-C-K-M-A-N, at csufresno.edu.
arickman at csufresno.edu. And we will put a link to that on our Facebook page for the show.
Great.
You know, I don't know the exact number of Fresno State clubs and organizations at Fresno State, but I think it's over 200. And I know that estimates are that just through those clubs and organizations, about 5,000 students contribute somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 70,000 hours of service to the community each year. The impression that I think a lot of people have of Fresno State clubs and organizations is they're just these social gatherings and parties and, you know, that kind of thing. And sure, that happens. They're college students and they have fun, but they're out there doing so much more. And I just want to thank you, Jasmine, for the work that you did, and Amy, for you motivating your students and being that role model for them. It does make a difference. And clearly you made a difference, and this club will continue to do that. My thanks to our two guests, Dr. Amy Rickman and Jasmine De La Torre, both from the Child and Family Science Department and Ambassadors for Youth Success Club at Fresno State. As always, my sincere thanks to all of you who are listening. You are the reason that we have this show, and we want to hear from you. So please go to that Fresno State Service in Action Facebook page. It's at FS Service in Action. Again, that's at Facebook, at FS Service in Action. Let us know about your thoughts about today's show, about service in general. We'd love to hear from you. Of course, we invite you to tune again next Sunday at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program here on KFSR. We are on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.